Good Monday morning, everybody. Grab your cup of coffee. Oh, I got a chip in my cup. Grab your tea, sit back, and let's chat about the astrology, human design, gene keys for the upcoming week. And just when you thought it was going to be a quiet week, we end up with a whole host of things going on. And it's always lovely when that happens, because of course it stirs the pot and we have access to new possibilities and new exciting perhaps events occurring in the world or in our lives. So welcome then to the second full week in November, and happy Veterans Day. The observed Veterans Day. I hope you were all able to spend yesterday's 11-11-11 gateway in a positive way. I spent the day yesterday writing and watching football, of course, because that's one of my favorite pastimes. And it was basically a pretty decent weekend. And that way, you know, I got to witness my grandson, who plays football, winning their Super Bowl. His team went completely undefeated this year, and it was pretty fun to watch that unfold. His father is the coach of the team, and it was just a fantastic validation of life to see these kids playing a football, which we normally think of as a more violent sport, and indeed there are definitely, you know, that the tendencies for that, but watching the heart with which these kids play when, you know, even one of the opposing team goes down on the field, the others help them up. It's just pretty cool to watch kids play. And if only, you know, we took that into all of the facets of our life as we grew up, it would be pretty awesome the way the kids support one another, no matter what team they're on. I mean, they're all business when they're playing against one another, but when it's, you know, someone's hurt or when, you know, the chips are down, the kids pull together, and it's really pretty interesting to watch. So that was on Saturday. And Sunday yesterday, like I said, I spent the day writing. So I hope whatever you did this weekend, that it was something that was supportive of you. Good morning, everybody. Let's see. We have Mimi. We have Ellie. We have Vanita. Colleen. Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Stephanie. And good morning, Vicky. It's nice to see you all out there this morning. And I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. This week, we have quite a few things to talk about. It's actually quite a busy week. And, you know, when I first looked out over the course of November, I was thinking, you know, those first 2 weeks were going to be the ones, you know, the next 2 weeks should be more quiet. And just as I say that, then, you know, the influences of this week play out next week. So we'll just have to see what happens. But for the most part, today, we have the moon sitting in the sign of Capricorn. And that puts all of our focuses today, probably on your career, your profession, your reputation, whatever it is that you use your authority for in the world. And, you know, Capricorn being an earth sign is a sign that is practical and gives us, you know, these action steps, actionable steps. It's ruled by the sign, by the planet, excuse me, of Saturn, which is about form and structure. And so it gives us an insight, maybe even a couple of days worth of being able to gain some access to what we want to do next. How do we structure or how do we format our next steps? And if that means, I know for me, I've had a focus on what is it that I'm going to be doing as I move out of 2018, which I cannot believe we're almost at the end of, and into 2019. And so there's that evaluation going on. And if you have your own business or you're, no matter what it is that you're doing in your world, even if you're an artist like Mimi, I'm sure there's these thoughts going through your mind about what comes next. And that's typical of the moon in Capricorn. And that, of course, is going to shift tomorrow morning. We have a whopping 31-minute void of course moon tomorrow from 7:14 a.m. Pacific time until 7:46 a.m. Pacific time before the moon moves out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, thus shifting the energy, the emotional energy, the inner energy of the week. And when we go from Capricorn to Aquarius, of course, it's like night and day. Capricorn, very business oriented and step in front of the other. Aquarius, you know, turning things around and looking at it from a different point of view, kind of, you know, turning things upside down in order to see, you know, just from a different viewpoint, how things might be. So the week's energy shifts tomorrow morning as the moon changes signs. So we have not only the moon in Capricorn and Aquarius, later in the week, it moves off into Pisces. And when we get the moon in Pisces, of course, I always like that. The moon in Pisces is gentle, it's compassionate, it's artistic, it's creative. It is more emotional, sure, but it's also more loving and kind. And that's how we get to end the week, except for Sunday. Sunday, we have a little bit of volatility that shows up in the moon as it moves into Aries. And the moon in Aries is like, you know, stirring the pot, right? So at the end of the week, we stir the pot some more. And hopefully everybody can maintain, you know, their equilibrium, especially from, I think it's on Sunday, on Sunday, the moon moves into Aries quite early in the morning, like 8 o'clock-ish a.m. my time. So 11 o'clock-ish on the East Coast. And so that's when you would know, okay, there's a shift coming. Conflict and confrontation are not going to be the best way to deal with things because people are kind of emotionally raw at that point. So there you have sort of the rundown of the moons this week. I have some announcements that I'd like to make for you all this week before I get into some other things going on in the week. I wanted to let you know that the Magic Makers Planner book and the Energy Almanac, both things that I contributed to astrological information and is written by me, but artist by Tam, is available. And it is packaged. You can buy the two of them together or you can buy them separately, depending on what you want. The Magic Makers Planner book is more like a planner, right? So you've got the moon information and then you also have the ability to write, you know, like a calendar planning your days ahead. The Energy Almanac, however, is more broad in that it looks at the energy of the months and also has the moons engaged in that, but it's less of a planner and more of something that you just sort of, you know, the sheets are tear outable. They have perforated so you could tear them out, frame them and hang them or put them, you know, someplace in front of you so you can always have access to that information. So that is available. I'm going to put the link up for you on my page this morning, but it was also in the blog post that I did yesterday for the energy of the week, which brings me to the next thing. Every one of you that are on my list, hopefully every one of you got it. The Astro Inklings information for the upcoming week with the arts and the written description of the astrology for the week. And that went out yesterday afternoon. So check your email and, you know, give me some more feedback if you wish to let me know how it's going. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to post those up, probably at least through the end of the month before we decide what it is that that's going to eventually become. I have an exciting guest for us this week. On November 14th, Wednesday morning, Donna Blevins, who is the author of the book Mind Shift, Mind Shift on Demand is what the book is called. And, you know, anytime I see an author, I get notifications all the time of people who've got new books and, or, you know, they're doing some kind of interesting, informative talk. And I get notified from their PR firms for it. And I, you know, shuffle through looking to see, you know, who do I want to bring to you all? When I saw this one, I just knew that this was the perfect tool or series of tools to bring to you. Because we've talked a bit about over the last couple of weeks, we've had, you know, we had Dinah come on the show where she was talking about reading the Akashic Records and being able then to do some rapid transformational therapy to shift your life. Now, Donna has written a book about how to shift your mind, and she has this book filled with tools, and the tools are simple, And they're designed to help you be able to get yourself out of a specific mind pattern. And it's really fascinating because she'll share with you that it began with her mind powerfully creating a situation in her health that was pretty almost could have been tragic, and how she moves through that using these mind shift tools. And I was hooked. I mean, the minute I started reading her story, I was totally hooked, and I'm hoping you guys will be as well. So she'll be with us on Wednesday morning. And I've also put a blog post goes out today with her information in it. So you can get the book ahead of time and take a look at that. And then the last announcement, December 5th, which is on a Wednesday in 3 weeks, I will be doing the Astrology for 2019 webinar, giving you all a look ahead at the main events for 2019. And I thought that it's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific time. That will be 7 p.m. East Coast time, cost $25. But along with it, I am also going to offer a free transit report for everybody who pays for the webinar, and you can get a personalized 12-month look at what is coming up for you astrologically for the entire year. And then, of course, I may have to do a little bit of a class to show you how to use that tool, because for some people it gets kind of confusing, but I find it invaluable actually to use. So those are the announcements coming up. Let's take a look at the highlights of the week. And most of that has to do, of course, with Thursday, Mars moving into Pisces. Now, you got to remember back. So back in May, Mars was beginning its retrograde state, right? It was beginning to move into the same area through which it was going to retrograde. And I believe that was at 29 degrees or 28 degrees Capricorn. And then it moved forward to 9 degrees of Aquarius, turned retrograde, backward motioned, retrograded through those 9 degrees of Aquarius and back into Capricorn. Then in August, it moved forward, and it has been in Aquarius, picking up speed ever since. And Mars in Aquarius is not an unhappy camper, but now he's moving into a sign where he's not exactly welcomed. He's not exactly happy. In fact, it is almost like putting, you know, a bull in a china closet, because there's this sense of action, right? Mars is the planet of action. And you put him in a water sign. Mars is fire and Pisces is water. And Pisces is creative and compassionate and, you know, slow and just this creative, softer, blissful sort of energy. And Mars says, speed it up, get it done, do this, do that, go there. So there's this sort of dichotomy of the energies, and they're probably going to create some havoc in your own personal lives. Wherever it is that you have the sign of Pisces in your life is where the action may slow down, where there may be less action available. So it feels almost like, you know, you're moving along and then, you know, you hit a bump, or, you know, you've got to slow down. Add to that Friday's move of Mercury into retrograde motion, and you get the picture, right? It could be a frustrating next few weeks. Actually, Mars is in the sign of Pisces all the way through December 31st. And from the 15th, so Thursday all the way through the end of the year. And so it does sort of show us that there's a slowdown in the action, a more, dare I say, a more deliberateness to what we do. And that deliberateness needs to be not based on you trying, and you're going to hear me say, talk some more about this today, not trying to force yourself into something, but being able to relax and just go with the flow of the energy. So frustration occurs and anger occurs when you're pushing against the tide, against the way the flow is going. And Mars in Pisces is going to bring us to that kind of feeling, particularly if you are a Piscean. So if you're born in, what is that, about February 20th until March 21st, until the spring equinox. You're probably going to feel the brunt of this. And those of you who are Aries, who is the accompanying sign, so or right next to Pisces. So those of you who were born from March 22nd or 21st on through April 19th. And I would dare say that if you are a Scorpio, you might also feel the bite from Mars in Pisces, because Mars is one of the co-rulers of your sign. And Pisces and Scorpio are fellow water signs, but it may be too slow, perhaps, for those of you who are Scorpios who, you know, want to get things done, who have that intensity of action around you, and now are finding yourself slogging through. Right? It's like when, you know, you get on a beach and the waves are, you know, coming up on the sand and you're trying to walk through it and you get stuck because that kind of sucked in feeling, and then some action, then you get slowed down again and then some action. So expect that over the next couple of months. As well, the north and the south nodes make their semi-permanent shift. I say that because from about November 6th to 15th, they wobble a bit. They kind of wobble between the true node wobbles between, you know, the end of the Leo Scorpio or Leo Aquarius axis and the Cancer Capricorn axis. But as we get to the 15th, no more wobble. It is fully in and across the Cancer Capricorn axis. And, you know, that is a sort of an interesting side note to all of this as well, because the South Node in Capricorn is used to being able to take action in a different way, right? They're much more direct. But the North Node is the ruler here, right? The North Node is the direction we're moving in, and it's in Cancer. And Cancer, remember, we talked a little bit about it on, what was it, last week, sometime about how it's a sidewinder, right? And it comes in sideways, never really kind of direct on. Have you ever seen a crab really moving directly? They're kind of moving a little bit sideways. And so the energy, you know, for the most part, isn't direct for the next several months, several weeks anyway. And we are finding ourselves having to, you know, be patient. God, I hate patience sometimes. Gosh, that's so difficult, right? When we really want things to happen and we want to push, but we can't do that, right? So the North and South nodes will be in Cancer Capricorn for the next 18 months. So that's a year and a half. And then on Friday, woohoo, Friday, what is this, you know, this trick of the stars that on the same day, Venus ends her retrograde motion. And then immediately following, in the next few hours, Mercury turns retrograde. So it's like we get rid of one and we add another. Now, we're kind of used to the Mercury retrogrades. We kind of come to expect, you know, three or four times a year, we're going to end up in this slower energy anyway, right? Of having to take more deliberate steps, being more aware of what we're doing, adding more consciousness to everything we're doing, and recognizing that it isn't a great time to start something new. So we have to be careful, right? And luckily now Venus changing direction, she will be, you know, slowly gathering speed and moving out of her retrograde zone by December 17th. So we begin to act upon the new values that we've established. And I, you know, of all the places in the world right now that we can really see this is in how Venus is acting upon the election that we just came through here in the USA, right? As in, it won't be long after Venus leaves the retrograde zone early January, where the new Congress takes over and new energies begin to be enacted in our outer world, hopefully along values that we voted for back in November. So, or that we voted for in this election that will be playing out as we move into January. So it's going to be, you know, an interesting, you know, through now from now until the end of the year and into early January, how the energy is, you know, likely going to be slowing us down at times, opening up new pathways at times, and otherwise creating kind of this feeling that we have to be patient and go with the flow. To be out of the flow means you're forcing things to happen, and that isn't going to be so good. And that brings me to see if there's anything else I was going to tell you about here. No, I think that does it. So the next thing that I was going to talk to you guys about, I started to bring this up last week, was about Jupiter, who's now in Sagittarius, and giving us access to hope and optimism. Yet I still haven't felt that. I don't know if you guys have felt that yet. Like every once in a while, I get a niggle of it. And then it is quickly dashed with, you know, the outer world circumstances, fires and, you know, just things that are going on in our outer world. But there's an interesting reason why this might be the feeling that we're experiencing, this like idea of, you know, having this openness to what comes next, being, you know, a little bit about hope and having a little bit of optimism, but also still a little bit of that pessimism going on. And it has to do with the gate in human design that Jupiter is sitting at. Jupiter is sitting at the gate 34. And the gate, let me move my coffee out of the way before I end up wearing it this morning. The gate 34 sits on the sacral, and I'm going to show you a picture of that right now. Here's our chart for today, and it's a lovely little chart. We'll talk more about the whole of this chart in a bit, but here's the gate 34 on the sacral. Know that the sacral center right here is the energy center that you would think of right at your belly button and below. So it's our power center, if you will, as human beings. It is where power comes from. But in the shadow of this gate 34, we have the energy of force. And force is not power, right? Force is not power. In fact, force is the shadow in the gate 34. So we have the shadow of force. We have the gift of strength, and we have the highest expression, the city in majesty. And that's the one that I want to really get to. I won't get to that today, but I really want to get to what does that word mean? Because it's pretty exciting. But let's take a look at force and what does that mean for us? Well, literally force is about an energy that we might call survival of the fittest, maybe Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest, which is the urge to use force to make things happen in our lives. It is an actual evolutionary impulse that we have. It's sort of the prime directive, if you will, if I can go a little bit Star Trek-y on you for a minute, the prime directive for us for survival energy is to make things happen. So the gate 34 holds some really ancient intelligence for us, right? That allowed humanity, humans, to survive and to evolve beyond the other animals, particularly the mammals here on the planet. In that, you know, we've become, it allowed our intelligence to increase, our strength to increase through the use of the mind. But it's also created this ferocious sort of competitive power that we feel that we have. And it's threatening the collective survival right now, as well as the survival of our planet, right? And this is the energy of trying. I was going to look up the quote by Yoda, and I didn't this morning. Maybe I'll try to look it up and post it later. But in the Star Wars series, Yoda says something like try. I don't remember what it is now, but trying, the energy of trying is linked to force, and it's linked to our being out of flow, right? Out of the sink of flow. When we are pushing instead of allowing something to happen. Now, chemically in your body, in your DNA, this particular gate is linked to the gate 43, which is the sun gate this week. And it is the gate whose shadow is deafness. It's like, la, 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 I don't want to hear what any of you are trying to tell me about where I'm going or about what to do next. I'm just linked to this action, this force that I'm exerting in the world, and I'm not listening to anything except that primal force. And it sort of sounds like the president, doesn't it? Right? No matter what, he gets it in his mind to act on something. So and I'm not saying that he's a bad person because of that. I'm just saying that, you know, we can see it outside of us very clearly. And if we can see it outside of us very clearly, then it's also something that we're carrying within us. As we can see very clearly that this person gets something in his mind and he begins to force it to try to happen. The wall, any number of things, actually. And then he does not even listen to his advisors who are telling him, no, that won't work. Don't do that. Don't tweet that. Don't, you know, don't get involved in this. He doesn't listen. He continues to push his way into something. And then it becomes volatility, right? So chemically linked to gate 43, which is the deafness. I can't hear you. I'm not listening. It is deaf to outside influences as well. And the more that his peers, the more that the world challenges him to listen, the more volatile he becomes, the more behaviorally he becomes unbalanced. It's a great model for what's going on within each one of us as well, right? So where we are trying to force things to happen, we are not listening to the voice of spirit or to the voice of our peers around us, our wisdom people, your guides, your angels, whoever it is that you're not listening to, is where it is that you're out of sync and where you're trying to force things to happen. And it's interesting because the sacral center, let me show you my little thing again. The sacral center is a center for action. It is a center for power, but it has no awareness. You know, the awareness is up here in the head, it's in the spleen, and it's in the solar plexus, but there's no awareness here in the sacral. This is really purely survival energy, and it's action energy. So this is the power center. You remember that in human design, it is a motor, and it's a motor that's engine is always on. So the generators and the manifesting generators, who are the ones who have that center defined, have access to this energy, and it's always on, and it's always ready to move at a moment's notice, at a second's notice. It's ready to take you wherever it is that you want to go. It doesn't ask the question, do you think that's the right way to go? Do you think that's the right thing to do? Right? It's always acting in response to what is showing up in its outer world. So in and of itself, it supplies the engine, but it doesn't have the wisdom to be able to tell which is the correct action to take, right? So we have to rely on other parts of our human design for that kind of wisdom. So remember, that is the, you know, issue here with this particular gate and with Jupiter right now, is we want to sort of, you know, the horses in a race, you know, before they're in behind those gates and they're just chomping at the bit. I think that must be where we get that saying from, chomping at the bit, where they just want to go. They know the race is about to start and they're just, you know, restless and ready to go. And that's what we're sort of feeling right now, that restless energy that wants to go, that wants to be, you know, we're ready, we want to go. But all of the signs around us are sort of keeping us linked to this energy of patience and waiting and not yet and yield signs, right? Maybe there's, you know, a stampede going across your view and you can't cross safely yet. So I'm hoping these metaphors are making sense to you. It's that no matter how hard we try to push, that would put us out of sync, with the energy of this particular gene key that says there's strength in taking action at the right time, at the right place, in the right way, with the right opportunity. Okay, let me take a look and see what people are saying here. Colleen says that energy can be exhausting at times and gets me in trouble. It is freaking exhausting. And literally, when you get this energy kind of signature where there's this like big stop sign, pause sign, our nature is that we want to act, right? We want to do. And we can see clearly ahead of us. That's maybe one of the dangers right now, is that Jupiter in Sagittarius gives us access to vision. So we can see what's going on out there, what's going on down there, down that path. And we want to get there as quickly as possible because it holds optimism for us. It holds hope. It holds a whole host of opportunities. And we want to get there now. But the energy of, you know, this particular and this gate And with Mars in Pisces and with Mercury in retrograde and Venus still in the shadow of her retrograde, they're kind of slow spots along the way, right? Like watch out for quicksand, or there's a hurdle that we have to cross first. And that's kind of the whole of the next few weeks and months for us, at least through, I'm going to say through about the early part of January, about January 6th-ish, when then finally, no retrograde planets, right? January 6th, put that on your calendar, circle it. That day, Uranus turns to direct motion and no planets will be retrograde for the rest of that month. And yay, right? We have finally all of the stops and the blocks are removed, and we can see ourselves going forward. So that I hope that kind of helps a little bit, because it gives you this date maybe to shoot for, to look at and go, okay, great, I can wait that amount of time. It's literally less than 2 months from now. I know that sounds like a lot of time when your mind gets involved, but in the grand scheme of things, if you take that over the course of your whole lifetime, how big of a blip is it? Right? And there may be something really beautiful in the mix here that you're waiting for that makes the experience of your life after January so much better. So it's worth waiting, but it's really frustrating to have to wait. And it's really frustrating to see how things are opening up and then to have the gate come back down. You know, it's like, you've ever sat at a train station, at a train crossing, and the gate starts to go up and then oops, it comes back down. Like, hello. I want to go. I want to continue on my journey. And, you know, boom, the gate comes back down. That's what we're faced with. We might as well make peace with that and just go with that. Mimi says, seems we are banking on positive momentum as the newly elected officials are sworn in. Fingers crossed. Yeah, maybe. There is that, at least in this country. I'm not sure that, you know, much changes with that. I mean, we'll see what happens. I have hope for that. Good morning, Holly. Good morning. Colleen says, my hope goes up and down. Yes, it does. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, late but made it. We're glad to see you. Good morning, Kathy Miller. Sounds like you and Kenny are in trouble these next 2 months. Yep, they're two Pisceans. And yeah, it's a possibility. Although, you know, I wouldn't say that you're in trouble. It's that if you are trying to make things happen in your life, you may be frustrated. And I think you and Kenny both have birthdays later in Pisces. So this may not be as apparent to you in the beginning, but maybe a little bit further down the road. Will there be a replay? Colleen says. Are you talking about the December 5th workshop? Because if so, yes. There will be a replay. If you're talking about Wednesday's conversation with Donna Blevins, yes, there will be a replay. So either way you look at it, if you, you know, are not going to be able to be here Wednesday morning to hear Donna, that I always turn into a YouTube video and it stays here on the Facebook Live page or in the Facebook page for Living Astrology. You can always get access to it. If you're talking about the webinar for December 5th, yes, if you pay for that webinar, but you can't make it live, you will have access to that webinar in the replay mode, and as well the 2019 transit chart for yourself. And Vanita says, oh, great, more frustration, because Vanita is also a Pisces. I think, you know, Pisces, you guys might already be feeling, you know, that frustration, because Neptune has been in your sign for a while and is going to continue to be in your sign for another, what, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. So you're already sort of feeling this slow down, speed up kind of energy, right? Where things are going back and forth for you. So it's nothing really new for you. Just add some more planets to the mix and make it a little more frustrating. But the whole idea is that, and I'm going to say this, but I know I'm really bad at this too, is to stay in the flow of the energy. If you're pushing something to happen and it isn't happening, there's a reason, right? There's a reason. It isn't the right time. All the circumstances aren't set yet. And so maybe instead of having awesome, you only have mediocre response or mediocre outcomes. And that's the whole point, right? Whatever it is that we're trying to do or whatever it is we're trying to become, or whatever it is we're trying to attract in our lives, if we are forcing it, then the result is usually not as good as we could have had if we just waited, if we had just had patience, right? So I know it's difficult because I've been having the same issue. April, good morning. And Kristen, good morning. Hello from Milan. Is that like Milan, Italy? If so, ooh, what fun. I don't know if there's another Milan in this country, but if you're in Italy, have a great time and thank you for joining us. Stephanie, good morning. She says, I got it. I would love if both the almanac and planner were combined in one as I look to the astro inklings to schedule my week ahead. Yeah, I think next year, I don't know if I can even say this out loud, but I think next year that may be how we're going to try to look at this more on a week by week basis. And that's why we've been sort of testing that to see, is it valuable for people in that way? So I don't know for sure how that will look, but we'll know we're getting clarity every day. And that's why your input is so valuable to us, because I pass that on to Tam. In fact, I think I've just been CCing her and everything now so that she also sees the results of what people are saying about the program. And, you know, if everything is working out well, then we're going to do it that way, because that's what everybody's requesting. But we're already at the time, you know, the cutoff time. The Magic Makers is already ready. And Energy Almanac, I've finished my part. She's doing, you know, she's finishing up the artwork on her part. And it'll be ready to go at the end of December. So next year, though, which is just in time, because 2020 is a wowza of a year. As I was looking ahead, I can't help myself. I cheated and looked ahead into 2020. And I was like, whoa, right? If 2019 gave me chills for some of the things that are happening, some of those terror type of chills, 2020 gave me hope. And anyway, that's just kind of me looking too far ahead, perhaps. But anybody else? Any other? Okay, so now I want to take a look. If you guys have any questions about... Oh, Kristen is in Italy. Wow. Enjoy your time there. You deserve a vacation. You deserve time in a beautiful city and absorb all of the culture and all of the wonder and all of the exciting energy of the place. I've never been and I would love to go. Okay. Let's take a look at the Human Design Week ahead. I always seem to post the astrology for the week. And then after I post it, I'm like, I didn't really speak to Human Design. So I don't know if that's going to end up being two separate reports or if I can somehow combine the two of them. It's sort of different the way they work. But in Human Design this week, we have the Sun and the Earth in a really interesting combo. We've talked about the Gate 43 before. We talked about it just a minute ago in terms of this energy of where Jupiter's sitting and the energy of force, where we're trying to force by trying or pushing our way into something. And that Gate 43 supplies the deafness to our not listening to what Spirit is saying or what our peers or our guides and helpers are saying, and, you know, pushing anyway. So Gate 43 brings us that kind of deafness. But the higher energies available in Gate 43 are about breakthroughs, about epiphanies, about ahas, right? Literally, it's breakthrough energy where we've been stuck, you know, where we've been unable to get insight. We suddenly have access to insight, right? To that aha, that's where the Sun is sitting. But remember, I always talk about the Earth is also the place that challenges us a bit. So the Earth is sitting at Gate 23. The gate in the shadow is complexity, where we overcomplicate our lives and the steps we need to take forward. And, you know, we kind of are like dogs chasing our tails at times, or we're just going round and round. And the gift in the Earth at Gate 23 is simplification, simplicity, right? The simplest way forward is the best way forward. The simplest way might be just to wait until you have clarity. Why push, right? Why push? Do something else fun and interesting, right? If the universe is not showing you the path to the love of your life yet, then make yourself the love of your life and focus all on you right now. There will be time when the focus shifts and it puts it in the attraction of the love of your life, right? If you're not getting the career opportunities that you want right now, then focus on strengthening all of your skills that you need in order to be attractive to the people out in the world that make decisions, right? So there's a lot of things that you can do in the short term that are much more in alignment with this need to wait until things are, you know, completely aligned for us to take forward motion. And it has a lot to do with just doing the simple things. And the simple things are often the things that are right in front of you. Like, what's in your face today to do? Right? What's right in your face today that you can do? And that feels more accomplished than pining away for the things that you don't have, or for the experiences that you want that you don't have right now. And I know this is crucial because we also have, Mars, lovely Mars, sitting at gate 30. Gate 30 is down here on the roots or on the emotional center right here. So we have the gate 30 desire on an open emotional center. So if you have an open emotional center, remember, you are allowing things to flow through you, feelings, emotions, and not holding on to them like a sponge. And if you have this defined, you're broadcasting emotional energy. And the emotion at gate 30 is about desire. And it's not sexual desire. That gate doesn't have anything sexual about it. It is the desire that I want a partner. I want the love of my life. I want money. I want fame. I want fortune. I want a career. I want. And that energy ramps up all of the energies available, right? All of the energy available on the chart is ramped up by this particular gate. We call it a red flag gate because anytime someone has it, if you've got it by birth, then it is something that all of your life you're dealing with this energy of desire, these powerful wants. And now all of us this week, and actually, how long is Mars sitting there? Mars sits there through this week. Oh, and then he moves into the gate 55. That's pretty awesome. So let me explain. Mars will be sitting here all through this week at this gate of desire, right? And what is Mars? An action planet. And its action that it wants to take is in alignment with what it wants. I want XYZ, so I take action to get XYZ. But that may pull you out of alignment with beingness, being in the moment, and allowing things to unfold. So you might inadvertently create force in your life because of the way some of these planets are set up this week. Now, as we get into the late part of the week, after Mars moves into the gate into Pisces, it'll move into the gate 55. And I love the gate 55. The gate 55 says, have faith and trust in the abundance of the universe. All things come to those who wait. It doesn't say we have to wait more, but it does say trust and have faith in a benevolent universe that provides. God will provide, kind of thing, right? Right. It's a huge, huge shift in energy from this gate 30's desire to the gate 55 that says, just being in the flow brings me everything that I could possibly want. If I'm out of alignment with that flow, then I don't seemingly get what I want. But sometimes what I want isn't what is in alignment with my true life purpose or my true life mission. And so the universe has a way of protecting us from getting what we want in favor of getting what we really need in order to complete whatever it is that we're here to do. And I hate thinking of it that way, just like you guys think. I don't want to think that I'm being protected because you're keeping something from me. But in some case, I've seen it happen in many people's lives where later they look back and they go, thank God it didn't work out that way. because now I have the best job ever. And I love the people I'm working with. And I love what I get to do because I didn't force myself into that other job or that other relationship, right? So it's pretty protective, actually. Holly, hello, Kristen, love and miss you. Have so much fun on your amazing trip. That's awesome. Cindy, I like being in control too. Being a Virgo, it is my nature to be this way. So it does make it hard to just let it come as it will be trying my best to not stress over this because I know stress equals health issues too. And Virgo is the opposing sign to Pisces. So of course I should have included Virgos. Right? Because Virgos may be just by opposition and their need to be able to take practical, organized, analytical, you know, their Virgos are constantly criticizing, critically thinking and analyzing about what went wrong, what should I do next, what's the next best thing to do. And then they want to take practical action-oriented steps to get there. And when you've got a planet across from you that's an action planet but placed in a water sign, it may be something that triggers Virgos as well in not feeling like, I can't get anywhere. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't do that because things are in my way. Kathy says, I like to be in control. It is hard to wait, but at my age, I know if it is meant to be, it will happen. If not meant to happen, it won't. Not that I like it. Exactly. And, you know, there's a sense there that you can come to peace with the whole thing, right? You can be peaceful and in serenity while you're waiting. You don't have to give in and succumb to the challenges that your mind is giving to the rest of your body, right? Just a quick poll. I wish I had a way to do a poll. I probably do somehow can do that. But I just want to know how many of you are feeling anxiety or feeling like I call it butterflies in my stomach. How many of you out there are feeling like this inner turmoil, this inner, and it's a physical feeling. This isn't me just in my mind. This is my gut. This is my innards feeling like they're all roiling and broiling. I just want to know, just check in and say me too, or we'll start a new hashtag me too movement. Me too. We're all feeling anxiety. Because I think that is also a symptom of the mind attempting to control and force things to happen. And so that's another reason why I'm really excited to have Donna Blevins coming on Wednesday, because I think she's going to give us some really good tools about, you know, quick little methods of being able to calm the mind and get the mind to leave the rest of your body out of the anxiety loop. Let's see. Colleen says, no, not at all. I don't know if that's tongue in cheek. Or what? Stephanie says, all year, really? Yes. Laura, me too. Vanita, me. Suzanne, I'm feeling it. Cindy, yep, me, big time. Colleen, Virgo, Sun, Pisces, Moon, so I'm used to this. Monique Alexander, good morning, Monique. Welcome. And she says, me too. And Mimi, feeling it, yet refuse to allow it to take the lead. Good for you, Mimi. Laura says, and it's not unusual for me. Vicky says, yes, in the last week. It's kind of crazy because normally I might feel it periodically, like once in a while, where it picks up and it's, you know, there in my beingness, in my body. For real, no anxiety. Colleen, I need your secret. But lately, every morning I wake up, and as I wake up, I realize, oh my gosh, my sacral is already humming, which I'm a generator, so it never shuts off. But at that point, I'm feeling it in terms of anxiety rolling through me. Linda says, me too. Kristen, me too. It's pretty amazing. And it's interesting the number of people who are feeling that as well. And then, of course, as people are feeling that, so those of you who are empathic, you feel it even more. Right? Because you're taking in now people like me who are broadcasting emotion, you're taking in that emotion and you're empathizing and you're feeling it and, you know, let it go through you. Just let it flow through you. I'm not sure what to do with it in my case. I should let it flow through me, I guess, but I'm not certain. I'm not altogether certain where it's coming from. Possibly the mind, but I have an open head, so I'm not sure. But maybe it's just the thinking of the world that I get involved with here. Suzanne says, oh yes, waves of anxiety off and on every other day or so. That's what Ellie says. Kathy says, your siblings say my middle name is worry and stress. Not sure I agree. More frustration. That's funny. Monique says, oh yes. So it's amazing to me what's going on out there. It really is. And, you know, I spent a good deal of the time Saturday morning. I don't know what happened to me Saturday morning. I really got into an emotional state. And that emotional state was, it swallowed me, right? It swallowed me. My only respite was that I could walk across the street and down the hill, and I was on the beach. And I literally just sat there. Watching the water come and go, watching the ships out there, and just absorbing, hopefully, as many of the good vibes from the water as I could. And that seemed to be the only thing I could do, because my emotional self was getting, you know, carried away. So, you know, there have to be steps that we can take when we get into that. And that's what I'm hoping she can help us with, because it is often the beginning of the mind. The mind begins it. Right? It starts talking to you. It starts speaking about, you know, this or that or the other thing. And you have to think about this too. The sun sitting at gate 43 is on the Ajna. And with the earth at 23, you have the complete channel from the Ajna to the throat. Let me show you the picture again, right? So your mind is connected, the mind right here at 43, connected to the throat at gate 23. So you have to be careful what you're speaking to as well. Right? Because this, if you're speaking out of turn, you're going to end up feeling not heard or valued or recognized. Remember, that's that freak to genius channel, right? We call it the freak to genius channel. So we're all a bunch of freaks and geniuses this week, but speaking out of turn, out of time, or pushing your way into something, whether it's pushing your opinion, pushing your ideas, pushing your thoughts out there, can create havoc for other people. So, or literally they just don't listen. And then later they listen to someone else who says the exact same thing you did. And you're like, what? You know, you didn't listen to me, but you'll listen to her. And that's more frustration for us that we don't want or need. So remember, just because you have that connection does not mean that you have license to speak. Speaking always comes with an invitation. Even if it's defined, it works best if you wait to say what you want to say until somebody has said, I want to hear what you have to say. Or you question people and get them, you know, in a way to be able to ask you in for a speaking engagement. Vanita says, Saturday, yes, tears would come for no known reason. It was big on Saturday. And then there was a shift in the later part of the day. I felt it. And then it was gone, right? It was just gone. Ellie says, I also had a super random emotional breakdown Saturday too, and also took a walk and felt better. Weird. Literally, sometimes that's all you can do is walk it, run it, just move it out of your body physically. And I'm so glad that we have legs that we can do that. And or that, you know, we have the ability to do something different, to get out of our heads. So interesting times we live in, everybody. And certainly there's an element of volatility to everything. And, you know, you sort of sense it. And all we can do is maintain peace and within ourselves, right? Just, we are the only ones that can create peace for ourselves. We're not going to find it in that outer world. And the way to find it in your outer world is to follow your intuition. And just do with that, follow your body's instinct, your body's wisdom. If your body's saying, go take a walk, go do it. Just get out. Right. All righty. Anything else? Colleen says, I've been working on managing anxiety and not picking up others' anxiety for decades. That's pretty cool. Yes. Pretty, pretty cool. All right, everybody, that's it for me today. So I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, where we're going to take up the gift Jupiter at gate 34, which is strength. And maybe we can do strength and majesty tomorrow because I want to leave Wednesday completely open for our mind shift on demand. So look for a blog post later today about the mind shift book and about Donna Blevins. And I will see you all later on. Take care. Have a great day. Mwah!